But I do know this, and Mark Messina is our guest here, and we'll get on to rock and roll in 1 minute. I didn't even go down the Lamar Lane with you. I miss you. You know, I like you more than your brother does, and he knows that, and you know that. So,
Sometimes that's not hard.
yeah. Well, there you go. You returned my text, so there we go. You know, I mean, I'm more in touch with you than he is, apparently. Being across town, I would just say this on the money side for Mr. Rubenstein and what this is going to be. Evaluating Peter, seeing the differences between Modell and Bisciotti, and then Bisciotti after Ray Rice, after the tragedy, you know what I mean, after things go wrong and all of that. And it has been interesting to watch this guy operate and to wonder, because you're a baseball guy. I can line up. I can tell you how many people. I've had Barry Bloom this week, Eric Fisher last week. Just go through the list. Doug DeSensei's. I've had Dave Shinen. Luke says it again and again and again, and I'm the guy without the press pass that they think's too hard on them and intimidates them. Everyone this offseason is underwhelmed by their pitching of the offseason. This isn't just the morning after Zach Eflin might be hurt or all the other arms we've gone through here, but like, he's owned the team. It's a splash thing. He's got a bobblehead. He's in on it. He wants to win. He's on the commercials. And I haven't met anybody that thought they had a good offseason with their money. I'm just saying.
No, I get it. And in every aspect, like with whether it's with coaches, whether it's with new coaches, there's always the honeymoon. And you knew the next owner coming in after the Angelos, there was going to be ticker tape parades and fanfare, and this guy's going to be great. And this guy, when you are constantly told, hey, you would be great, you would be great, you would do this, you would, everyone's good, and people are usually by. And then criticism starts. And, it starts everywhere. It starts with new coaches. It starts with quarterbacks. I read after the Super Bowl that Andy Reid should be fired. And you're like, really? And when it's different, because again, so many of these people have had nothing but success in their life. And when you are the CEO of the company, and when you're rich enough that you can own and you can buy and you can hire and you can fire, you don't have a lot of criticism.
And your failures are very quiet because you
Yes.
like it that way, and you demand it that way. You
Yes.
demand that all criticism halts. And that's who this guy is. This guy's not up to sitting and talking to me. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not even about criticism. It's just about being real. He's not going to sit and talk to anybody where the questions aren't handed to them ahead of time. That's very obvious to me, and it's obvious on the state. You know, like, this guy's polished and rehearsed to a point, but to your point, what happens when the dam breaks, right?
And the other aspect too is, there's the fair criticisms that they take, and you're right, they can insulate it, they can determine who they talk to, but being anyone that's a public figure that, and now with the keyboard warriors, that you're taking criticism from people who don't have any idea what they're talking about, who don't know facts, who have facts wrong, and you know how frustrating that is when you're like, no, that's not the
No, I
point.
see who runs the country every day. So I see what bad facts, bad information, dumb science, ignorant folks who, ignorant at the core, not ignorant like in Dundalk. Well, you're just ignorant, ignorant of facts, of things that sit in front of them. I've lived that with the Oriole fan base. I mean, literally, the vileness toward me as an Oriole fan has been holding a bright light up or a mirror for that organization for 30 years that I'll continue to hold up. But it is, they can come back and say, we spent $170 million on baseball players this year, right? Like, there is that, and I'll hear all of that, but I don't think they're any closer to winning. And I think that's the concern here, to your point. They need to win. That, they need to, and even when you're winning Kansas City, you need to keep winning, or they go away, because that's the modern world we live in. And I don't, I don't know what the plan is here. The guy's owned it for a year. He's got other people. I don't, nobody's coming out with any grand plan. And you know what Luke says? Well, none of the other teams do that. So that, well, then your upper deck's empty on game two, and it'll be up, give away bobbleheads. They don't have a strategy. And that's the part that really concerns me, because I see other people asking questions. I'm trying to glean the information to say, oh, you spent $2 billion on this. You have a real plan to resurrect the city and with the train station underneath and all the same problems that John Angelos had about developing the land. What's the plan, dude? You know what I mean? And that's from a civic standpoint. That's not just on the field. That's when you spend $2 billion and you're 74 years old, I would think you want to get things done, right? I would think.
And that's the thing, it's hard. And there's such a naivety to that winning is easy. I remember when back when the Angeloses took over, and it was the whole thing of their kids playing rotisserie baseball, and they were good rotisserie players, so they thought they could own the team. And it just winning is hard and everything. And the difference, I mentioned Kansas City before, the difference between Kansas City and Baltimore is Kansas City doesn't have a Yankees and a Red Sox in their division. And your hope springs way more eternal every year because you're not looking at what they have. Now, again, when you look at all the, I shouldn't say all these, but the successes of these teams, Aaron Judge was not a free agent. They drafted him. And when you can, it's still, in any sport, when you can draft your own players and produce your own players, you talked about the Ravens earlier. What changed the Ravens franchise was the draft of John Ogden and Ray Lewis. And when you hit Hall of Famer in the first round, that changes things. And the teams who produce from their own organization, as the Orioles has seemed to have done lately, it certainly gives you a chance. But their margin of error, unfortunately, because they're in the Yankees Red Sox division, is way smaller.
Mark Messina is here. I was going to get on to Lamar with you a little bit because I was just going to say, in the NFL, the Ravens never had the risk that Lamar would just go take the big check like the golfers did with Liv. You know what I mean? Like just go and run off to the gypsies. The NFL has contained that. The NHL has contained that. That's why Ovechkin stayed with the Capitals, right? Like, leagues have managed to try to get a grip. The NBA's out of control, but it's player owned and driven and run at this point. The exact opposite of the way baseball used to be. But all right, let's get to rock and roll, dude. Tommy Conwell, I want to give you the floor on this because you and I have been in the same room together once in the last decade. And I realized it at like 6 in the morning the next day when I scrolled through my text and I'm like, we were in the same room in Harrisburg for 3 hours one night, 5 feet apart, and didn't say hello to each other. And it was at a Tommy Conwell concert.
So the funny story is, and I texted you while I was
I
there.
know. And yes.
Why I didn't text you before, I don't know, but this is what happened. So it is one of the bands that I have. I love Tommy Conwell. I remember once you said if I could burn a hole through this disc, I probably would have. And if Rumble, I have two copies of it just in case. And I had come to grips with the fact that I was never going to see him live. I saw him in Fells Point in the 8x10 with the Little Kings back in the day. You were there. You don't
Yeah,
remember this, but I do.
I remember it well. He had a three piece. Daryl was his sax player. He just passed away in recent years. Yeah.
So I've come to grips with the fact that I'm never going to see Tommy Conwell live. And on my, crap that, because your phone keeps sending you stuff you care about, and he was playing in Harrisburg. And I bought two tickets right then. I didn't know who the other person was going to go. I was going to eat the other one if I didn't, but I was going to drag someone with me. And an old friend of mine just happened to be in town who's a rock and roll guy. I said, "What are you doing Saturday night? We're going. I have your ticket. You don't even have to pay me back." So we go. So I'm like, I had a blast. And he was great. And he was so fun. And I love the old bands who get it, who are just happy to be there. I have trouble sometimes with the old bands who grit and they're just like they're pretending that this, and I'm like, dude, you're playing in front of hundreds. You're not playing in Madison Square Garden. Like, enjoy the moment. We're happy you're here. You should be happy you're here. Don't give me this like game face. So anyway, and Tommy was a blast. So then fast forward 6 months, a buddy of mine from college, one of my longtime friends, he says, "Hey, I got tickets to see Motley Crue at the Hard Rock
AC,
in Atlantic City,
I remember
and
this.
you're coming. and you don't have to pay for anything. You have to chip in for the room, but I have the tickets. Okay, so I'm there. So of course I'm going back and forth. Who's opening? I don't know. Okay, so then find out who's opening, and he texts me back and he says it's some band called Tommy Conwell. So I was like, you got me. So in 6 months, I see them both, and I'm sitting there, and my buddy has done very well for himself. And we're in the VIP section. So we are right at the stage. And I am pumped to see, like, we're getting there
You
on
don't
time.
really want to be that close to Vince Neil at this point, do you?
Well, he said in his
Okay.
quote to me, he said, we are so close, we're going to be able to see Vince lip sync. That was his line.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
So we're there, and I'm like, dude, I need to be there for the opening band. We're not showing up late because I love. And I am there, and I'm singing along with every song. And there are these Motley Crue couple next to me, and the blonde chick reaches over and taps me on the shoulder. She goes, "You clearly know who these guys. Who are they? They're really good." And I'm on my phone. I'm pulling up. I'm showing her and her boyfriend or her, whoever they are. I'm like, "This is the album you need to get." So I was jacked. If
The album
again,
really gets Walking on Water, which is the EP that came before that on the Cornerstone. Do you know about this, Walking on Water?
I know Walking on Water was the EP. I don't own it.
Oh, well, I should ship that over to you. I have some Conwell K-Rock Live from that era that was broadcast on radio.
Okay.
K-Rock used to take a concert in New York and I'm trying to think of what room it was in, the Empire Room or something like that. But either way, it was a live concert. I have some good MP3 stuff, but Tommy's come on the show in recent years and visited. He actually visited my home for a whole different story. It had to do with forgotten equipment at the Record Theater 2 years ago, and we've had some. But he's playing in Lancaster this week, so I will pass along your love of Tommy Conwell and the Young Rumblers. And I would agree with you that they were one of those bands that, like, when they come and play, you should go see them play. And they only do this a couple four times a year these days, but when they play, go see them play because they're great.
I appreciate the guys that are having fun, that are happy that they can play. And like when we saw him in Harrisburg, when he came up and he says, we played this song at the MTV Video Music Awards in 1989. And then everyone's like, oh, okay. And I tell people this too, because you've seen, 10,000 shows. But when I go see Bret Michaels in the summer. Or when I go, I'm trying to think of, I see Tom Kiefer whenever I get a chance because I love Tom Kiefer and Cinderella. And people are like, oh, why are you going to see these old 80s bands? I said, because if they're still together, they're sober now. And they sound usually really good. And you're in a small place. It not all, there's the Vince Neils, they don't always sound good. But a lot of these bands that are still out there. If you've seen Winger lately, have you seen Winger lately?
I saw him at M3 2 years ago.
I saw them in Jim Thorpe, PA, and they ripped it. Like, so
Well,
it
Tesla's still great. I saw the Black Crowes last year. The M3 thing happens every year. My buddy John Allen has put Child's Play kind of back together in Brian's absence to be able to play once or twice a year to go out and do it for the people like us who love it, and reunion shows. And hey, I had Rick Emmett from Triumph on a couple of weeks ago. Not that they're getting their band together, but all of the Hairspray, Sebastian Bach, the Night Ranger guy, they're all doing a tribute to Triumph. It's an album. It's coming out next month.
Well, did you see
A
Skid
lot,
Row is finally doing it, apparently.
they're gonna play. Sebastian,
It's
thank you very much.
Sebastian, they all hate each other, but they're gonna do it anyway.
Well, I saw Warren Martin DeMartini got together with Stephen Piercy from Rat last week. So look, one last go. And if I could do anything in this lifetime, other than maybe have your brother on the show and have a beer with him, if I got together with your brother, we'd have to have a Zima for old time's sake, because it's been that long. But for me, it would be getting Kevin Cronin back on good terms with REO Speed. I can't get Styx back together, but this REO Speedwagon breakup here at the end is just, it's like a Who Shot JR in the soap opera that I'm not willing to withstand some of the pain of these artists hating each other at the end of their lives.
It does seem Yes, it does seem weird. I remember, and I'm not a big fan of Gene Simmons, but when the whole when the Kiss going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they didn't have Peter, and they didn't have Ace, and I remember Gene said, you know, it's like a divorce. You know, we're in a marriage. We had our good times, we had our bad times, we were what we were. Now we're divorced. Now we have a new wife. And there's an aspect where I'm happy with the new wife, and I don't want to go back to the first wife. As much as everyone else wants us in the first wife because those are their memories, me and the first wife don't get along very well. And I when you take the personalities, I can understand why we're financially, if you don't need to. I can understand why Eddie and Alex were flying on different planes than Michael and Sammy were. And it's too bad for the fans. And now Eddie's gone and we'll never have it again. But when you look at the bands like Skid Row, I'm sure they could use a buck or two. And it's shocking to me. And again, like with Rat, it was shocking to me that they just couldn't. Like, just go play. Now, like Hall and Oates.
Oh my God, right?
Like, but they don't
Yeah.
need the money. So,
Well,
but
the
for the.
guys in Journey, I'll give you a rock and roll story. You want one that'll break your heart? This will break your heart. But
Sure.
it's well, because you're a Journey guy like me, right? I
Right.
mean, I camped out for tickets on the Escape Tour and back at Frontiers and all that. The band manager of Journey is a longtime friend of mine. He actually managed Van Halen back in the era when you and I were backstage. He probably was involved in that night we were backstage at Merriweather with our incredible pictures that we have are just some of the greatest pictures of our lives. And your brother did a lot of things, but he only took one picture with all of Van Halen and you and I are in it. but that era, I ran into, and it was a trip I shouldn't have been on at all. My wife was in the hospital the second time, and I was working, even though Chad Steele doesn't think I work for a living. I flew out to Arizona for a Ravens Cardinals game on a Monday night in 2015. It was right before Flacco was going to get injured. The team was terrible. They lost 37 to 13. It was bad all the way around after the Super Bowl. And I went out there. Miserable time. My wife was fighting. Her father came to sort of sit in, sister. So I wasn't feeling like guilty. I just felt like I don't want to be in Arizona. Game ends. I get in the elevator, and Jonathan Cain's in the elevator because Journey played the pregame Monday night thing. So the band manager recognizes me from 30 years ago in rock and roll. I shake Jonathan Cain's hand. I'm a little forlorn looking. I want to get the hell home. And he gives me a card, says, "When we come through, your wife's going to be okay. When we come through, we're going to take care of you. Come see, say hello to the band." So 2 years later, Journey comes through with whatever the acts were, Toto, a bunch of bands they were doing, whatever the thing was. It wasn't Bryan Adams, but it was like that. And we get the backstage passes and all that. This happened the week that Jonathan Cain and Neal Schon went at it. It was the first time Trump was running the country. And remember, the wife is now involved with preaching to Trump, whatever's going on. But this was when all the wacky stuff was happening with the band. We got backstage passes. They were in Baltimore. Nobody was speaking to anybody. So I had a backstage with Journey where the singer, the younger singer, give me his name. Come on, help me out. I can't think of his name.
The kid
But
from the Philippines.
yeah, he's like, I heard him say out loud, "Do we really have to meet these people?" Backstage. There's 200 fans back. We're going to meet Journey. Where's Neil? Well, he and John really don't talk, so we can't bring him out for the backstage, for the thing, for the pictures, for the whatever. And they get on stage and they're still playing. Like, I would have told, this is 2017, maybe 18 that this happened. I would have told you there's no way that band can continue. They've played 1,200 shows since then and have made $150 million since then. And I'm telling you, I don't think they talk. To
It
your point, you know?
is crazy. It is crazy. And again, you think with like former relations, especially people that are married and have kids, and that they would just be able to sit down and like,
Just be nice at church. Just
yeah.
be nice during the when the kids are singing at the show, right? I get it's hard though, dude.
But
It's hard.
societally, like you look at politics and it's just, hey, can't we just be nice to the people? And no, can't we just focus on the things we agree on? I mean, that's what I do with my colleagues, because again, I'm the only Democrat and there's two Republicans. Like, let's just focus on what we need to work on. Like, what's our budget? Someone retired. Do we need to replace that person? Like, let's focus on the stuff that we can, and we get along great. But when you, if you so quickly go to the differences, and when you think back of the, like, oh, this is a person I don't like, and this is why I don't like them, as opposed to, hey, why did we used to like each other? Why did we get along? But again, when you get to a point in life where you can afford to not pretend, and I wonder how much of that is too. You know, how many marriages pretend to be happy because they're financially dependent? Or how many marriages, if each person was independently wealthy, would they just go their separate ways and say, I don't like this? And how many rock bands, when they get to the point where they're independently wealthy, they're just like, listen, I'm not pretending anymore. But
Sting did not want to be in a band with Stuart Copeland. There's just he just did not. Yeah.
and but the one that hurts everyone in America. Well, Simon and Garfunkel and Hall and Oates are the two that you're just like, please just like each other. And apparently they don't.
Well, I like you and you like me sometimes once a year over rock and roll. Mark Messina has been my guest the last hour. He is the tell me what you I don't want to get your
I'm a county commissioner.
count. I was going to say court commissioner, but it's not in courts.
I
County
told people if
commissioner.
I won, I was going to legally change my name to Gordon so I could be Commissioner Gordon, but I never went around and did.
I'll get you on the bat phone and get you out of here and let you go run the Lycoming a county government. I hope your brother's well. Give him my love. I hope your kids' family, all the. I hope we get a baseball game in one day or it maybe a concert one day. You and me,
Well,
Hershey.
we might get Saturday night. We will get to Baltimore.
Dude, rent a car and get your ass to Lancaster on Saturday night, and I'll buy you proper. You only eat two things. I remember pizza and cheeseburgers, French
What else
fries.
do you
Throw
need,
those
dude?
in. That's three things.
What was the last one?
French fries,
What else do you need?
pizza, cheeseburgers, French fries. As your one-time roommate for I don't know a year, year and a half, however long it was. That's all I remember you eat. Mainly pizza.
What
Mainly.
else? What else do you need?
With nothing on it, right? You just like pepperoni, that was it, right? You don't need
I
anything else.
like plain pizza. I mean, I'll get it to the people who load the pizza with toppings. I don't get that.
See, I invited you out. This is, I don't even know you, Mark Messina. I invited you out on Saturday night for pizza, and you're going to get nothing on it. I'm not taking you out for pizza. I've changed my mind. We're going to do something else with you on Saturday night. Mark Messina has been my friend and enduring me for, I'm about 32, 33 years. I guess it goes back to 92, 93, somewhere in there.
We're not young.
We are not young, but we're still beautiful. And I miss you. I love having you on. Make some more time for me in football season. I'll come back and beat up on the Cowboys for you, all right?
This is our year, buddy.
Can't be, you know whose year it is? This is what I've done since the Ravens have thrown me out. I've readopted my past. I've gone back to a team. It's almost like being a fan of like the Washington Generals or, the Hartford Whalers. The Oilers can never win and they can never lose. So therefore, I'm happy every day of the year. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.